Thanks for tuning in for the Book Club at 91.7 here at WVXU and WMUB. Good morning. I'm Mark Purcell. As I was cruising the calendar of all the cool things to do here in Cincinnati, I ran across a listing at Joseph Beth Booksellers, a book discussion and moon viewing with the Cincinnati Observatory and my good friend Dean Regas to celebrate the 150th anniversary of the Jules Verne classic, From the Earth to the Moon. So this morning, we're going to talk to Dean about the influence of that book, and I'll also be talking with Brian Taves, the author of Hollywood Presents Jules Verne, the father of science fiction on screen. But Dean Regas, outreach astronomer from the Cincinnati Observatory and Stargazer host, is here in the studio with me to talk about Jules Verne and that classic and the observatory and all that's going on. Good morning and welcome to the Book Club at 91.7, Dean.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Well, you're having a book discussion and moon viewing at Joseph Beth on Monday evening at 7 o'clock, another event at the Cincinnati Observatory with Jules Verne on October 24th. But we want to go back to what catalyzed all these activities, and that's the 150th anniversary of the Jules Verne classic, From the Earth to the Moon. Tell us about that big hit for Verne.
Well, I mean, this was a really forward-thinking, you know, we call this almost the first hard science fiction novel that there ever was. In it, Jules Verne describes a way to get to the moon and around the moon and the adventure that these three astronauts took. So now, they didn't launch in a rocket because we got to think 19th century steampunk. How are you going to go to the moon? We launch you in a cannon. They blast you out of a cannon in this cylinder, this projectile. Three astronauts go into it. They fire off of the Earth, head towards the moon, and by a freak accident miss the moon, which is lucky for them because then they slingshot around the backside of the moon, and the projectile brings them back home to Earth again. Instead of hitting the moon, well, they go around the moon, which is good because they survive.
Amazing, because this story happens 104 years before man set foot on the moon.
Well, it has remarkable similarities to the Apollo 8 mission.
This was minus the gun.
Right, minus the gun. But it was very similar in a lot of ways. There were, this is the mission where astronauts first flew around the backside of the moon, and they had the Christmas broadcast of, seeing the entire Earth at one point. And so this was the kind of same thing, as there were three astronauts in that. The spacecraft was made of aluminum, so was the projectile in Jules Verne's novel. They launch from Florida, also in the novel. They land in the Pacific Ocean, also in the novel, and they're picked up by a United States naval vessel, all in the novel. It was very weird. In fact, Neil Armstrong commented later. He said, when I read Jules Verne, it was very similar to my experience. I mean, it was uncanny that they launched from very close to where he launched and did almost the same thing.
So are you saying that NASA plagiarized Jules Verne?
It certainly is possible that they kind of learned a little bit of this. Now, because there was some real science to it, they had to launch from a southern location because that actually helps in getting the speed up. That's what NASA would say. Jules Verne launched from Florida because the moon could be straight overhead in Florida at certain times. And so they aimed the cannon straight up and therefore could hit the moon more easily.
Shorter distance. Well, I love it. Of course, a lot of people, I'm a student of film, and a lot of people might remember that, Georges Méliès, film where they shoot at the moon, but they end up in his eye.
Right. So in this case, they actually do hit the moon on this case in that great movie. And we're going to have that playing at the observatory for our special Jules Verne night. The way they portray astronomers in there, boy, what a terrible stereotype. They have pointy hats and everything. I'm a little offended. But still, they end up getting back to the Earth by just pushing their projectile off of a mountain on the moon. And of course, when you push off the moon, you'll just fall down to the Earth, right? Not quite, but that's how they did it in the movie.
I'm talking with Dean Regas, outreach astronomer with the Cincinnati Observatory, as well as a co-host of Stargazer on PBS. He will be at Joseph Beth Booksellers on Monday at 7 o'clock for a book discussion and moon viewing, celebrating the 150th anniversary of the Jules Verne classic, From the Earth to the Moon. You can learn more about it at WVXU.org. And Jules Verne is just an amazing character. I'm going to be speaking with Brian Taves, about Jules Verne on the screen. But as an author, he's just amazing in the output, and he was truly the father of science fiction.
Yeah, and reading this novel, this is an enjoyable novel for me to read because there's a lot of science in it, too. He describes what it would be like to fly over the moon, what it would be like to fly so close to see the craters and the mountains, and he accurately describes a lot of the features on the moon. So there's a lot of science in this. It's not just kind of fluff, but then he throws in comic twists, and he throws in just little things like, oh, the passengers, while they're going to the moon, the Frenchman that's in there, it's two Americans and a Frenchman. The Frenchman says, you know, how are we going to get home? And they're like, oh, we never thought of that part. You know, there's like just these little comic parts. And that the folks that start this are part of the Baltimore Gun Club. These yes. are ex-Civil War profiteers who said, oh, man, the war's over. What are we going to do now? And they're all very depressed about that war is now over. And so they, well, I guess we can shoot stuff at the moon. Why don't we do that? So there's a lot of little comic things to it that I think people would appreciate, too, if they read it really carefully. The language can be a little cumbersome at sometimes. It's still 19th century prose, but there's some really neat little gems in there.
Well, I've also been learning as I've been doing research on Jules Verne that, well, number one, he's French. Well, I mean, I knew that already, but that a lot of the translations were mangled. So some of that stilted might not just be Victorian English.
That could be. That could be. And the other thing I think of is, okay, so he's a Frenchman, but yet he selects this to be an American endeavor. There's something he noticed about Americans that they had some mentality like, okay, the moon's there. We can build cannons. Okay, we can shoot stuff at the moon. Okay, let's do it. That's kind of how he had this idea that this was an American adventure. And it wouldn't have been the same if it was a French adventure. It was Americans had the mentality to do such a thing and proved to be correct.
So what about Jules Verne's influence on you? I know a lot of scientists, you know, talk about his work and his stories. And of course, there's what shows up on movies and on TV, and I'll be talking with Brian Taves, the author, about that here in a few minutes on the book club. But that you know, what an influence this guy has.
Yeah, and I mean, I have to admit, I wanted to do this event. I wanted to pick this 150th anniversary because I love Jules Verne's writing. It's just such a great adventure stories and a lot of personality into these the characters as well. And plus, I work at a 19th century observatory. Mm-hmm. Jules Verne actually mentions the Cincinnati Observatory in two of his novels.
Really?
Unfortunately, not in From the Earth to the Moon, but in other novels, he mentions the observatory corresponding with the astronomers at the Cincinnati Observatory. And so it just, you know, I feel this connection that, you know, he knew about other facilities. He knew places around the world. He didn't necessarily visit all these places, but he knew where the cutting edge science was. And Cincinnati was on his radar, which was very cool to see.
So what else did you learn about Jules Verne while you were preparing here?
Well, he was very detail-oriented, that's for sure. When he wrote this book about From the Earth to the Moon, I mean, there are parts where the engineers are going to be like, wow, that's really cool. Everybody else is going to be like, oh, man, this is boring.
Yeah.
I don't want to know how much gun cotton goes into the shot and how long you barrel. But he went into such detail. And so for the aficionados, like for a moon lover like me, when he's describing each and every moon crater that they're going over, I just think that's really cool. And he's also up on the latest trends, too. The novel is very 19th century because it even throws in this theory that there was a second moon. And the second moon plays this was widely thought to be true, well, at least among certain circles that he read. And so he puts it as a plot device in the novel, the second moon, which turns out to be not true. There's no second moon or anything like that. But he was very up on everything. And so he had the latest info. And also the part about this where they fly around to the backside of the moon. This is a part of the moon that we never see from Earth. Nobody had ever seen in his lifetime. And so you read it and you're like, oh, how's he going to describe this unseen area? And I'm not going to tell you. I'll let you read the book to find out.
Well, I was going to ask about that because, it is amazing. So when it comes to Verne and his influence on science, what beyond the Apollo program do you think Verne insinuated in science?
Well, the other character in his novel, the Frenchman that goes along, his name's Michel Ardan. He's actually based on a friend of Jules Verne's. This is a balloonist and photographer, And so his name was Nadar, which is an anagram for Ardan. So it was a subtle play of his name. And so this guy was a pretty cool adventurer. He was going up in balloons, taking photographs, crashing balloons, all sorts of stuff. And so he liked to bring real life into it, too. And a lot of his characters are just really interesting. But I think what he did really was, he got people, their imagination going. They said, okay, all right, we could do these things. They're all plausible things. Of course, if you shoot people out of a cannon at 18,000 miles an hour, they're going to be pulverized. But you could actually shoot a cannonball to the moon if you made a cannon big enough. And so I think it got people thinking, there are really, science can answer all these questions, and there are no limits. If we want to do things, we can do things. And I think it just got your imagination going, if nothing else.
Dean Regas talking about the 150th anniversary of the Jules Verne classic From the Earth to the Moon. Dean from the Cincinnati Observatory and Stargazer fame will be at Joseph F. Booksellers Rookwood Pavilion location 7 o'clock on Monday for a book discussion and moon viewing. The book discussion, not one he wrote, but Jules Verne's classic From the Earth to the Moon. Learn more about it at WVXU.org. And then on October 24th at the Cincinnati Observatory, there's also an event with a Verne theme. What's happening there at the observatory?
Well, so we're having a Jules Verne anniversary party, the 150th anniversary, at the observatory, where you can look through an even older telescope. We're going to have a lot of Verne events, a lot of Verne things happen there, talk a little bit about the book. And we invite people to dress up in costume in their favorite 19th century garb. So attention all steampunks, we'd love to have you come over to the Steampunk Observatory. But it's just going to be kind of a night to celebrate Verne and all of his writings.
And so all the astronomers will have their peaked hats and all on, like in that one film?
My colleague has already gotten his monocles, so we're already ready to go.
So Jules Verne, of course, the From the Earth to the Moon, he has the space adventures, but then he goes under the sea and, also journeys to the center of the Earth. Were there other books that influenced you beyond From the Earth to the Moon?
Well, I like one of his earlier ones called the 5 Weeks in a Balloon. And this is where he describes going across Africa in a balloon, which at that time would be high adventure, that's for sure. And they come into all sorts of problems and crashes and all sorts of things. And so it really gets your sense of adventure. So he's like, okay, we'll go across Africa. We'll dig to the center of the Earth. We'll go below the sea. And now even the stars. Let's go out there.
Well, it's pretty neat, and look forward to all the events you're doing around Verne coming up in the next week or two.
I'm excited. Thanks for having me.
Cincinnati Observatory outreach astronomer and co-host of Stargazers on PBS, Dean Regas. He will be celebrating the 150th anniversary of Verne's classic From the Earth to the Moon at Joseph F. Booksellers at Brookwood Monday at 7 o'clock. Then there's a Verne steampunk celebration, if you may, at the Cincinnati Observatory on October 24th. Details about those events available at our website, WVXU.org. And while we're talking about Jules Verne, we'll talk to Brian Taves, author of Hollywood Presents, Jules Verne, the Father of Science Fiction on Screen. We'll talk to him in just a moment here on the Book Club at 91.7.